Are we ready? Now give the Lord a shout of victory. Hallelujah. Now lift your hands and surrender. We surrender to your will today, Holy Spirit. We surrender to your will. This is your service, not man's service, but your service. Lord, we thank you that we bind every religious spirit, every religious mindset in the name of Jesus. We take authority over this atmosphere right now. And we thank you, Father, that it is holy and acceptable unto you. Father, we thank you that in this atmosphere there is liberty. There is liberty in your presence, God. And we thank you right now, Lord, that every distracting spirit right now is bound already in the name of Jesus. But every foul and unclean spirit that is not of you, O Lord, I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over it right now. And I call right now healing in the atmosphere. Father, I thank you for it, that you are the restorer of the breach. God, I thank you that you are about to see a mighty work of your people that will be displayed on the land, that you will even take notice like the people that were building a tower of Babel. But these people are not babbling. These people are coming in one accord. These people are building a wall, Father, that the enemy cannot infiltrate anymore. Father, I thank you that we stand united as a people with one accord, one voice, one heart, that we say yes unto you, Lord. Yes unto you. And we serve notice as a people, that we are the watchmen of the city, we are the watchmen of the state, we are the watchmen of the nation, and we are the watchmen of the world. Father, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, that sounds good right here. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Woo-wee! I'm trying to contain myself. I feel like the prophet that said it's like fire that is shut up in my bones. It is fire that is shut up in my bones. And for the longest time, excuse me while I get my cup of Joe, all right? Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to be a little bit comfortable in the house. For the Lord says this is his house, correct? See, many people would think that because the pastor is now getting ready to drink a cup of coffee in a Sunday service, that now he's coming against the things that of holiness in the church. I'm here to tell you something, that everything that I do in this house is so that I can shame the devil, to bring freedom and liberty into your mind, into your spirit. If you're so used to having church a certain way, you have kept God in the box. You can just flow with me if you will. I know that something is taking place right now in the body of Christ. And when I see something encroaching to the city, God has called me to be a watchman on the wall. And when I see something is infiltrating into the body of Christ, I say, I will not do this anymore. I will not allow this thing that is outside the city walls to infiltrate into the city. And what he's speaking about is into the church. And in the church, too many people feel like it's got to be a certain way. See, every now and then, we've got to start enjoying the life that God has given us. Some of the simple pleasures in life we overlook. I began to wonder when I was having my coffee. Pastor, what you doing drinking coffee? I know some of y'all uncomfortable. Here's the thing. When I started having my coffee, the Lord says, you know that thing that you're drinking has been processed. The thing that you've been drinking has gone through the press, has gone through the grind, and it is my water that filters it. But until the hot water hits the ground, you're not going to receive what you have desired and what you started the process to get. Try brewing a cup of coffee with cold water. What you're going to get? Some nasty stuff. Some of y'all said, Pastor, you put sugar in yours? Y'all ain't coffee drinkers. Y'all put sugar and cream. Yeah, some of y'all went left. Y'all went, I put Bailey's. Kahlua. Take a whiff of that. Can you smell it? Smell good, doesn't it? Smell good. Take a whiff. Smells good, right? Smells good. Smells good. Can you smell the coffee?
Watch this. The process in which you go through will put off an aroma. It'll put off an aroma. Even when you're going through the fire. Even when you're going through the test. But in that process, we can't miss one step. Because the end result will not be pure. First of all, the bean has to be picked. Shoot. And not just any bean will do. The bean has to be picked. How many of you know that you've been picked? You've been selected by the hand of God. You are a handmaiden of God. He has been chosen for such a time as this. And because he chose you for such a time as this, what comes out of your mouth and out of your hand, the penmanship that you were to write, God says that I'm about to give you instructions for the body of Christ. You will put together things that have been orchestrated by my spirit, and many people will read it and run with it, just like it was said in Habakkuk. I have given you vision, I've given you dream. Take it not lightly, for the Spirit of God is about to bring to fruition what he has shown you years ago. And in these past couple of weeks, he's been stirring that very gift inside of you, and it's about to come forth. He is going to align the resources for your life. Things are about to be manifest in the lives of many. Beloved, you were chosen for such a time as this. Talking about coffee beans, man. Coffee beans. Picked. You know you were picked. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. And because you've been picked, you have felt like all kinds of adversity doesn't cease. It just intensifies. But it's because what's inside of you will bless many. What you carry is a gift of the Most High God. You're precious in his eyes, but you're precious to the body. Prophets were always misunderstood. They could never fit in. And then they could never find a place of being comfortable. God kept prodding them to go to certain places. Beloved, be encouraged, because everything that you have been going through is to bring you through that process much faster than many of these old folks. And I'll say it, old folks in the Lord. 20, 30 years in the Lord, they still ain't done nothing yet. But what he's about to do to this generation is to raise up a generation to bring holiness back to his church with a demonstration of power. Watchmen, where are you? Where are you? Thank you, guys. You can be seated. I'm going to give you guys a break. Thank you very much. I welcome all of those that are tuning in to the podcast. The title of this message is Watchmen, Where Are You? Watchmen, Where Are You? We'll begin our reading out of Habakkuk 2:1. Turn in your Bibles to Habakkuk 2:1. I'm going to read out of the God's Word translation. That coffee, you tasted so good. When you're there, say amen. I hear a paper shuffling. Amen. That's real Bibles. Real Bibles. All the Habakkuk, like Habakkuk. Habakkuk. H-A-B. Okay. Habakkuk 2. Verse 1. I'll begin reading. And I will stand at my guard post. I will station myself on the wall. I will watch to see what he will say to me, and whatever and what answer I will get to my complaint. Then the Lord answered me, write the vision. Make it clear on tablets so that anyone who can read it quickly. The vision will still happen at the appointed time. It hurries towards its goal. It won't be a lie. If it's delayed, wait for it. If it's delayed, Wait for it. Let me say it again to some of the folks that just can't hear just yet. It's too early. If it's delayed, wait for it. It will certainly happen. It won't be late. Oh, I'm going to read that one again. That to help myself. Jesus, thank you. If it's delayed, wait for it. It won't be delayed long. It will certainly happen because it won't be late. Now, we as the folks in church that were grown up in the church since we were yay high, we have all heard it's better to wait upon the Lord. Well, we have been waiting and waiting and waiting, but my question to God is, how much longer? Is it just me, or do anybody else ask that question? How much longer do I have to wait? I done been in the closet. I done been in every closet in the house. How much longer? Cricket. Then the Lord says, why are you asking and praying the wrong thing? Why not get up and walk? Pick up your mat. You can go get it. It's in my room. And walk. You've been lame too long. You've been laying there waiting for the move of God too long. Season after season after season, the angel would come to stir the waters, and you're asking, when? When? Somebody help me. Help me. Help me. And then we give an excuse. And the Lord says, pick up your mat and walk. And we get indignant with God. We get mad at God. You see my condition, don't you? These things ain't working. What you want me to do? Just pull myself in? Here is where we err with God. We've been asking the wrong thing to the wrong people. We're giving our ear to anybody. Falling after things that seem to be, they're so godly. It's so pure. It's so God. All he said to the man that the man didn't know, get up and walk. Pick up your mat. Roll it up. And don't go back to it no more. When I came out, I told you something's just burning inside my bones, and I want to release it. And the Lord says, I've had this thing inside of you for so long, but you didn't quite understand what was going on. I said, you sure right, God. I did not know what was going on. But then I began to take notice of what's going on in the signs of the times right now. Began to see a young generation falling away from the righteousness of God. And a young generation that began to do some things that would never have been done in the generation previous. You parents in here, why don't you go ahead and stand to your feet if you would. If you're a parent, I just had a baby, I don't know. Stand up, you're a parent. Roll it up and get rid of this new age on how to discipline your children. Get rid of it. It has stifled the growth of this next generation. You are called to be watchmen on the wall for this generation. A generation that is up and coming, but they don't know how to respect authority. They don't know how to respect and regard God. Will you take a stand?
Yes.
Yes. Looking at these parents shaking their head. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're saying yes, know this. that the test is coming. You may be seated. Children in this house, stand to your feet. But I'm only 33. Do I stand? Every child in this room, not the parents that stood. Not the parents that stood. Children. Making sure I see all the children stand. All right. Your parents are about to get tested. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord will be tested. Every word that proceeds out of a church will be tested. I ask you, will you take your post? Will you take your post? All you young children in here, you young whippersnappers, will you take your post? You going to take your post? You going to take your post? Pastor, can you explain? I don't understand what the post means. What do you mean? Amen. Will you take responsibility for your actions? Will you take responsibility for your inactions? Will you take responsibility for your attitude? Will you take responsibility for your rebellion? I love y'all. I ain't getting after you. I'm just asking you questions. Y'all looking at me like with fire coming out your eyes. The question resides, will you? If you answer yes, the test is coming. Watch this. Even if you answer no, the test is coming. It's coming. You may be seated. We have seen the church displayed as the invalid laying and waiting for a move of God. I began to take notice. Many of y'all can already attest to this, is the music on the radio. Got a little quiet in here, huh? Uh-huh. Cedric the Entertainer said in a movie, he says, it's like you got to wear protection when you listen to this music. You mean like earphones? Every lyric that's coming out of the radio is filled with sex. Degrading women. Highlighting money. Highlighting the more women you got, the more power you have. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Success is not measured by the amount of money that you have. Success is not measured by the amount of people that you have around you. Ask MC Hammer at his highest point. They took everything from him and left him broke. And that was probably the best thing that ever happened to him. Because now he's a minister of the word. What you got to understand is some of these things that take place in the body of Christ, we, the church, are not watching. And we think we're in a safe place. Hello, somebody. We think that because the church is supposed to be a safe place, none of that enters into the church. That's where the playground is for the devil. Yeah, you know how it is when you start worshiping God and all of a sudden he just shows up right there, starts distracting you. You know, the text that came in. That you so happily looked at. Whoa. But nowadays, we don't call it texting. We call it sexting. Pastor, this is Sunday morning. You're supposed to make me feel good. How is this preparing me for the week? Change. We went from having little flip phones. I ain't knocking it. Now watch this. We went from having flip phones that you can only do so much to having smartphones to make us dumb. Couldn't surf on a flip phone. Couldn't get on the internet on a flip phone. And if you had to text on a flip phone, you might as well just wait until you got off the road somewhere. Now we got these smartphones that are taking the lives of every age group here in America. Is a smartphone smart? No, it made the user dumb. Maybe I should have kept the praise team up here to help me. I went into every closet in my house. Every closet in my house. And I walked in. I said, Lord, will I find you here? In every single closet. I go down to the living room thinking there's where my place is. Walk around. Lord, will I find you here? So now I go to where I have my altar with all the crosses on the wall. And I go there. Scriptures everywhere. Lord, will I find you here? Made a man cave out in the backyard. So I go out to my man cave and I go sit down. Lord, will I find you here? Get in my car. I feel the Holy Ghost. My God. I get in my car and I say, God, will I find you in here? Will I find you on my drive? Some of y'all don't understand my situation right now. And this isn't for pity. I'm just to share with you what the Lord has been doing in my life. The radio in my car doesn't work no more. My trunk just yesterday quit opening. I said, Lord, what are you doing? I don't understand. It seems like every attack that is coming seems to be intensifying. Where can I find you? So I come to church. Will I find you here? Still no answer. God, well, where can your people find you? Click. He says, if they seek me, they will find me. But we're thinking we find them where we see fit. Remember, I was saying, where will I find you here? Will I find you? Will I find you? The next question that came out of my mouth, where will your people find you? Then he answered, they will seek me. They will find me. So I began to ask God, well, what's happening, God? He says, the church has been laying on their mat too long. And I have been coming by. Traditionally, on every festival he went there. Every festival he went there. My question is, how come they didn't perceive it was him? Because they're so caught up waiting, waiting, waiting. This is what he told the man. Get up and walk. Quit waiting. Walk. Watch this. Where did he walk to? To the church. We don't have people giving their testimonies on what God has already done. And you know why they don't want to give their testimony? Because people are going to think they're still sinners. They're going to judge them so hard, they're going to think they never came out of their sin. They're going to judge them so hard, they're going to put them right back on the mat and tell them that you can't come into the church because you got tattoos, earrings, you got purple hair, green hair, you got all kinds of color on you. You don't even wear the right kind of clothes. They said, you're just putting me back on the mat. That's why Jesus said, pick it up, roll it up. Amen. Don't go back in. Don't let anybody put you back there. You testify of what God has done. If you had a needle in your arm and you felt like you were never going to come out of it, but he brought you out, you tell people. Because now you're walking the gospel to the people that need hope. Will you be a watchman? Will you be a watchman? Began to see so many things in the spirit. And I said, Lord, I see too many young people being led astray. Turn with me to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. Too many people being led astray, God. And that's a lot of young people thinking that success comes from YouTube. Success comes from being a rapper, become someone that's being a rocker, somebody that's becoming somewhat of an entertainer. And this is what the enemy's been doing to this generation, making you be like a puppet on a string. Ezekiel 33, verse 1. Once again, a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give your people this message. When I bring an army against a country, the people of that land choose one of their own to be a watchman. When the watchman sees the enemy coming, he sounds the alarm to warn the people. Verse 3 again. When the watchman sees the enemy coming, he sounds the alarm to warn the people. Then if those who hear the alarm and refuse to take action, it is their own fault if they die. They heard the alarm, but they ignored it. So the responsibility is theirs. If they had listened to the warning, they could have saved their lives. But if the watchman sees the enemy coming and does not sound the alarm to warn the people, he is responsible for their captivity. They will die in their sins, but I will hold the watchman responsible for their deaths. Now, son of man, I'm making you a watchman for the people of Israel. Therefore, listen to what I say and warn them for me. This is that which was inside of my bones stirring up. And I said, God, I know something's there, but I can't even begin to articulate it, put it on paper. What is going on? Not for me, but for the people. He began to speak. And he says, you bring holiness back to the church. And before you get it all twisted and think you can't. Holiness means that you come to God and you give him your all. I don't mean you're going to go change your life and be a monk. Or you're going to go to seminary school so that you can start preaching the word. That's not what God is speaking. He's saying that we must come to him with our whole heart. Truly surrender before him. So that the holiness of his presence can work in a willing vessel. Yes. 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 Are you willing? Amen. The willingness isn't about someone that only stands in a pulpit. The willingness is those that say yes to your will, God, not my will, not my agenda. Amen. Oh, wait a minute, because I have to work, or I have kids I have to tend to, or I need to watch my shows. Grey's Anatomy just came back on. See. It's all good. We put some things before God many times. You know, the biggest one is called sleep. Yeah. You know, you're normally a night owl until he calls you to pray, and you're going to go to bed now. Huh? Or you're sleeping. The next thing he does, he wakes you up by calling your name. That your heart starts pounding because you think someone's in the room. I bind that in the name of Jesus. Jesus standing there. How are you going to bind me? I'm the one calling you. Wake up. Get up. Walk. That's what happens. We get too comfortable on our mat. Oh, but I can just pray laying down. Oh, just put that cover over here this way. Just plop that pillow, make it nice and comfortable. We're too comfortable. So what do you think the enemy's going to do? Hello? What's he going to do? He's going to attack? What else he going to do? He going to put you to sleep? And bind that devil asleep right now in the name of Jesus. Turn with me to John 10:10, please. John 10:10. John 10:10 reads in this wise. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And we stop reading there. Oh, the thief, the enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. Hey, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Well, let me tell ya, there's more to that. When we get so caught up, that's it. That's his work. That's his plan. Here's the answer to what the enemy's plans are. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're talking about the devil coming to kill me. And you're saying you've come to give me life. Hello. But he's coming to steal. I come to give you life. And to have it full. He's coming to destroy me. I've come to give you life and have it to the full. Do you understand what that means? He's saying, what are you worried about him for? I destroyed the works of the enemy. When I said, it is finished. You know, everybody just did that play, you know, all over the place. And they put him on the cross. They forgot to do the other side of the cross. That he already took the keys from the works of the enemy. And he gave them to his people. And he says, it is finished. All his works. Everything that he tried to do against you is done. So that what? That you can have life. And have it to the fullest. And have it more abundantly. So you can sit in church looking all highly falutin and important. Some of us don't even want to raise our hands. We do. Or when it's time to clap, we're like. And when it's time to shout and dance, hallelujah. But when he saved you, oh, your hands were all over the place. Oh, and the dancing. No. Don't let me get started on the dancing. Because you were dancing out there like a fool to begin with. When you come to church, take a deep breath, Marty. Take a deep breath. Lift your hands before the Lord. It's a sign of worship. Lift your voice. It's a sign of praise. Move your feet and dance. It's a time of celebration. So God, what are you saying? I've been praying against this devil and you're not giving me anything. I bound everything that I combined and even my dog won't even come out of the corner. I thought he was a demon, so I bound the dog. Won't even come out of the corner. I told the fish, he looked at me strange. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Now he won't come out of that little cave. God, what is it? He says, you ain't living. You are looking like you're bound by the enemy. And that enemy is religiosity, segregation, and elitism. You think because you Holy Ghost filled Christian, you're better than everybody else. You're a non-denominational Christian because you don't want any denomination. Well, in reality, it's like, I don't know what I am, so I'm non-denominational. Hello? What religion are you? I'm non-denomination. I don't know what I am, but I guess I'm encompassed by everything. Well, we call that a mutt. Everything gets mixed in. Throughout the course of life, you know, I got saved in a Christian church, got saved in a Baptist church, got saved in a Catholic church. You got saved. Some religion got you. Oh, but now I'm charismatic. Okay, that means charisma. That means you're able to be amongst other people and talk and laugh and have a good time instead of judging and coming against everybody because you're so charismatic. So throughout the course of history, we start adding all the different things to different religions. We put it all together. I'm non-denominational. Lord says, I didn't come and give a denomination. I came because I nominated you. I chose you. And I called a people unto myself. Why you got to go and make separation between everything? And this is what has happened. We put ourselves right back on the mat. I've been a part of some things in my life that I'm not proud of. But I know God used it to test me. He used it to prove me. And to approve me. I was so scared. I'm honest truth. So scared to start a church in my own city. Because too many people know me. My friends. My family. Somebody like, oh, but you go ahead, Pastor. You're supposed to. Let me tell you something. Jesus couldn't even do the miracles in his own city. Jesus. You know why? Because his own folk. On family members. Well. On family members come against him. What you doing, Jesus? You just a carpenter anyhow. You ain't nothing special. So the Lord says, unless you understand who you are in me, you'll be on that mat too. Because where I call you to go, go. And when people want to put their mouth on you, just stand. Just stand. And know that salvation draws nigh to you. Many would think, oh, I'm getting saved again. Yeah, his hand is about to save you from this situation. But don't allow people's words to put you on that mat. Don't allow your circumstances to put you on that mat. Watch this. Don't allow your past successes to put you on that mat. I know that God is doing something. It's different. It's new. It's fresh. What it is, I don't know. I don't know. But I do know something. That he's concerned about the city. Speaking of the church. Intercession has lost its fervor. Intercession has lost the fervency, the fire to stay in it. Many of those, I say, oh, respectively, hear me, respectively. Old church folks know to wait upon the Lord, to pray through until it lifts. Okay, try to teach that to a younger generation right now. You got 15 minutes, God. Because I got my list. And I got to pray for it because I've got a list of people I got to pray for. You're not interceding. You're going through the act of prayer. True intercession is when God placed something on you. It is so weighty. It is so heavy that he calls you into a place that you've got to pray through until it lifts. You don't come out of that place until it lifts. Well, it's been for 3 days. Stay in that prayer. You're about to bring a change in somebody's life. Pray it through. Watchmen, I call you to your place. Pray through. Watch and see what is coming your way and pray through so that the enemy doesn't get through. See, we need the generation that went before us. The wisdom that is there to teach us. With the fire that we have now, we can couple it together with wisdom and fire, and we can go so much further. But unless this generation, me included, learn how to reverence wisdom and put wisdom like a necklace around our neck, then we can grow in God. We don't want to grow in God because we're so busy wanting to look like we like God. The Lord called me to be a pastor. You sure? Your house is a mess. Don't even make me walk by your car. McDonald's cups all over the place. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all have those Whataburger bags in the back seat. You tell me that you and you refined Christian, huh? Refined. Because you're the new Christian. God's called you to lead some people. You can't even live your life holy. Well, watch now. Watch now. Y'all looking at me like, oh, pastor. We had it for a minute, but now. Talking about my car. You want to know the type of person you're following? Go look inside someone's. Go look. Many folks look at the Bible that's all beaten up and tattered and highlighted. That's a person that has it all together. No, that's a person that's gone through a lot of storms. Go to someone's vehicle that has it all messy. Oh, they're going through something. No, they're lazy.
I love you, girl, but don't make me go there. I'm so busy that I'm not going to go right by at the trash can and dump off the thing that needs to be thrown away. If you want to keep some stuff in your car that smells so bad and you want, oh, I'm just going to spray some Febreze. You're so used to covering up all the mess that you don't want to deal with it for real. Throw it out. Some of y'all are that way with relationships. I'm just saying. I ain't talking about you married folks in here. We ain't talking about it. Y'all went like, oh, that's, you're done. He gave me, he said, you're done. Divorce tomorrow. Pastor said, I did not. Boy, I wish we were on the internet right now. You could see the face of these people in here. Wives are looking straight at their husband like, pastor said. We hold so much junk of the people in our relationships that put on us, and we just put it in our vehicle and just walk along right with it. and then we say, I'm not picking on you. I'm not. I was going this direction. You were prophetic. You got ahead of me. But we get so busy doing what we're doing that we forget to deal with a mess. And we carry it around with us. And then we realize, oh, yeah, you remember back in 1982 that you looked at that woman funny and I knew you had something going on. Honey, that was your mom. You didn't see your mom? You saw the other girl? I was. We're over here. We're over here in the front. We were in church. But we hold all kinds of offenses and we carry it around and it's nothing but junk. It puts us on the mat. Your vehicle represents your ministry. Someone just being worked on for a long time. Riding a loner car. Watch this. God Almighty. This is free for y'all today because this is nowhere in my notes. Look. Everybody's like, I'm going to go wash my car today, rain or shine. Clean it up. When you carry mess around you, you will hold an offense, you'll hold a grudge, and you'll hold all kinds of dirtiness in your life. And if you don't let it go, that's only hurting yourself. That's how you get. That's not even in the Bible. It's not even in the Bible. What about cars? Then he said, when you get rid of a demon, clean the house, because he's coming back. Not with just one McDonald's, with seven different Big Macs and fries and the In-N-Out burgers that y'all over there. Oh, because they have scriptures in the bottom. I keep it in the car just in case for witnessing. No. Get rid of it. Clean it out. So when people get in your car, they're like,
It's a nice car.
They don't get in there like kind of move like the pizza box out the way. Or the sandwich that has been there uneaten. Yeah, it's nasty. It's just nasty. Oh, you know what? Since you're coming, I just put in the back seat. Don't look back there. Don't look back there. I'm just going to put it in the back seat. Like it's really gone. See what happens? We put everything in the back and we think it's just out of our sight, out of mind. Oh, it reminds you it's there. It's like a foul spirit that follows you. There's a demon in my car. I bind that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Honey, I smell sulfur in my car. There's a demon in my car. And baby, did you get the potato salad out that was in the back seat? I push. You didn't tell me it was in the back seat. Let me get it out. The demon left. I'm trying to tell you. I don't know what anymore. We get so spiritual that Jesus wept. Listen. Oh, Lord. We're talking about vehicles and rappers and all kinds of mess in your vehicle. Listen, it's not about us looking like we have the part. It's us acting like it's already ours, right? I used to teach people when they would go for interviews, I would teach them how to interview. Teach them how to dress for the interview. That's another. Don't let me get started. This is so hot. Let me just step on it for a little bit. You young folks in here, when you go for an interview, do not come and tell me that you went in there with jeans that weren't pressed, a T-shirt, and you didn't have anything pressed. If that's all you got, that's all you got. Press it, iron it, make it look good. Make sure it's clean. Amen. If your shoes ain't clean, clean them. Yeah. When you get there, it's yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And that everything that they answer you, don't text it to them. Speak, enunciate clearly your thoughts. The enemy, I'm back, thank you. The enemy has come in to steal communication out of this generation. This generation has gotten more caught up on the things of electronics than meeting face to face. And when we cannot communicate face to face, we lose the humanistic qualities that God has given us. If your thumbs are hurting you, it's a clear indication you're texting too much. And you say, oh, I hurt myself. How? I don't know. If you would just put your thumb like on that, okay, I figured out where it is now. It's because you're texting too much. If we lose the contact with one another, the enemy comes in to steal that away. Jesus had many followers, did he not? It astounds me he didn't have not one microphone, not one Facebook, not one Instagram, not one tweet, nor a website. Nor flyers or shirts, follow me. What made the people follow Jesus? They saw holiness. They saw something different than what was going on in the life right now. So I always told God, I don't want to be like every preacher. I don't. I have tried to walk that line of being so dang holy, I was worth nothing. People didn't want to come up near us. They didn't want to talk to us because, oh, you make me feel like I'm not worthy. I'm not God. But it took a lot of refining to go through to realize, son, take yourself off that pedestal and start looking around you. You just like them. I just called you to say something. We need a generation. And a generation isn't dictated by age.
A generation is a people that gather together to do the very thing that God has called the people, that generation, to do. And we're that people. We're going to break down the walls of separation, elitism, and religion. How do we do it? By coming together as one people. One common goal. Let's empty out hell and fill heaven. Okay, whoever you are that say, well, hell's not, there's no one in hell right now. You're living it when you're away from God. You're living it. It's time to blow the trumpet in Zion. It's time for prophetic intercession. It's time to sound the alarm in Zion. We must sound the alarm in Zion. We must blow the trumpet in Zion. We can't be a church that is quiet. Come on, praise and get me right. I'm closing now. We can't be a church that is too quiet or trying to fit in the status quo. We can't be like a cookie cutter church trying to be like everybody else. We have got to be who God called us to be. We've got to be different the way he's put it on you to be different. Everybody has a different fingerprint, do they not? It's not the same. Well, why does every church have to look like everybody else's church? Why does every mega church have to be just the same? Why does everybody have to have the same kind of outreaches? How come it can't be different this time and be unique the way God wants it to be? But we're all looking, well, they don't sing the way the other church that I was attending sings. Maybe you're the one that's supposed to be singing. All they're doing is leading you to worship. They're leading you into praise. They don't have to be the ones that are elite in praise. The instruments are there to help you. But it's time for us to be different and unique because he called us that way. The next generation is being pulled away from the city and the call. The leaders are being tested with fire. The refiner's fire that's in Zechariah 13:9. Like silver and gold, they are my people. They get refined by the refiner's fire. They get purified as gold. Then they will be my people. And they will call me their God. The enemy has been outside the gate, crouching like a lion. 1 Peter 5:8, seeking whom he may devour. The enemy is found working in those who entertain sin, disobedience, rebellion, or a self-willed nature. Those are some heavy things right there. It's time for the church to rise and take back what the enemy has stolen. Colossians 2:15. In this way he has disarmed the spiritual rulers and authority. He has shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. 1 John 3:8. But when the people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Revelations 12:11. We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by our testimony. We are overcomers. Romans 8:37. But God has made us more than conquerors. We can't be walking around like we're defeated. And if you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting for something to happen, maybe it's time for you to just get up and walk. Get up and walk and quit looking like a crippled church. Get up and walk. Go and be the church. Get out of the four walls. Do something for the kingdom of God. And when your employer tells you you got to work on Sunday, then you're going to stand firm and say, it is my faith in which you challenge. I will serve the Lord. Because when an atheist walks in there and they say, you know what, this is about me, they cave in. But when it's about Jesus, they don't have any reverence for him. You've got to understand, unless you open your mouth and have something to say, it's going to stay the same way. It won't change. There's some individuals in your life right now, that have caused so much grief in your life. It's caused you to put all that trash in the back seat. And you've been driving around with it in your life, in your Christian walk, thinking that because it's behind you, you've let it go. It's not until you get it out of you that you're set free. I want you right now, if you would, stand to your feet. With every eye closed.